There's a name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen. Brings comfort, peace, salvation, healing, anything you need, Jesus can give you. It's found in his name.
Oh. Hallelujah. Let's stand and sing a little chorus together. Praise God. You remember there's only one way to God? All right. Praise God. That's good reading, Sister Judy, Sister Heather. I love that word of God. Amen. Psalm 20, Psalm 37. There's only one way to God. One way to God. There's one way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. There's only one way to God. There's one way to God. There's one way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, through the water and the Spirit, one way to God. The water and the Spirit, one way to God. The water and the Spirit, oh, one way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. There's only one, oh, one way to God. There's one, oh, one way to God. There's one way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, one more time. There's only one, thank God. One way to God. There's one. Oh, one way to God. There's one. Oh, one way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One way, one truth, one life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to direct your attention to 1 Samuel, the third chapter. 1 Samuel, the third chapter. Appreciate the presence of God. I tell you, without the Holy Ghost, where would we be? You know, church just isn't church without the Holy Ghost. And without the presence of God. And without the very necessities that we all need to have. All of us pretty much might have grown up in a way that was sort of wayward from the way. But once you taste what was supposed to be, what was in the first century, you can't be happy with anything else. And it doesn't posture us to be a bunch of jerks to everybody else who don't have it. But it just means that we can't be satisfied, as the song just said, without the real Jesus and without the presence of God and without the moving of His mighty power, without what we know and what we get to enjoy and what we get to live. It's just not church without it. Hallelujah. I thank God for it. I thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. And you're right, Brother Rick, and stir it up. Stir up the gift of God that's within us. Amen. Amen. God, keep us from forms and formalities and customs and anything that will leave Jesus on the outside but not have Him on the inside. Praise the Lord. Because God's church is noisy church. It's worship and praise church and powerful church, miracle church and healing church. And God is doing wonderful things church. That's the type of church He's looking for. Hallelujah. And I just want that. Amen. Every day. Don't you? Praise God. I'm just saying I'm thankful that it's here. I'm thankful for people gathering in early to pray and call on Jesus' name. And I'm just glad for the moving of His mighty power. Praise God. It just makes everything just awesome. 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading here at verse 1 in the great word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, who was the high priest. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And before the lamp of God, that's what the word ear means, and before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" Good instructions, amen? So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." See, some people just need to know what to do with the voice of the Lord. Amen. Some people need to know God's calling you. Amen. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." Everyone that hears it shall tingle. Praise God. We live in a time where ears need to tingle. They don't need to be tickled. They need to be tingled. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They don't need to be patty cake with. They need to be tingled. Praise God. And God's voice knows how to do it. With conjunction with verse 10, "And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel." I just want to preach to you this afternoon with the help of God. Samuel, Samuel. Subtitle, "Somebody has got to keep the lights on." Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody's got to keep the light burning. Samuel, Samuel. Praise the Lord. God's not afraid to call, and he's not afraid to reach in order to keep that light burning that's supposed to be burning, regardless of what anybody else is doing. Hallelujah. If others are going dim, it doesn't mean the light of God and the purpose of God and the calling of God needs to go dim. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands to God and let's ask him to help today. Hallelujah. God, we love you. God, we love you. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help me to be simple. Praise God. In Jesus' name, help me be simple today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help our hearts to hear and understand, Lord. Help us to be converted, that our sins be blotted out and our names written in the Lamb Book of Life. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let us become lamps burning. Hallelujah for you. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. He's so good, isn't he? Praise God. He's so good, isn't he? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I'm going to read the rest of this for the sake of context. Hallelujah. And the Lord's still talking to Samuel and remembering how this section of scripture started before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. The Lord called Samuel. "In that day I will perform," in verse 12, "against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows. because his sons made themselves vile and restrained, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to shew Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said unto him, Samuel, my son. Now this is the same Sammy, amen, that old Hannah gave birth to. Old barren Hannah, who had that great affliction of not being able to bear children. Remember that prayer in chapter 2 where she's rejoicing in the Lord? Well, because God heard her cry, she finally got tired of that adversary. This is where this kid's coming from. He's coming from a legacy of prayer and dedication and a mama that gave him unto the Lord because she kept her vow. Amen. God, if you'll hear me and just take away my affliction and my reproach, I'll lend him to you. He's yours. And so this kid is here and God's calling him. And so Eli said, Samuel, and he said, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if you hide anything from me, of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him everything, hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan, even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Amen. So the back history here you read in the first couple of chapters for Eli is the fact that he's a high priest and his sons were priests also. But they were pretty nasty and doing all sorts of things to pollute the sacrifice and defile the ladies and to do all sorts of stuff. They're just wicked men, which would be called men of Belial or men of wickedness who didn't fear God, didn't walk in any of the ways of God. And he you can hear him reprimanding, saying, what is this that you're doing? But he didn't stop him. He didn't refrain him. He didn't do what really according to the law he should have done. Take them out and just stone them and purge that from them. I think that would have been more honorable in the eyes of God that he didn't allow it to continue. But he didn't. So a word came. And as Eli was getting old, and the child was growing. And according to the word of God, if you've ever read a little bit of Exodus and Leviticus, and I know some of the reading can be a little tough, but when God is setting up the tabernacle of worship in the wilderness where they would wander for 40 years before entering the promised land, they made all of the artifacts of the worship. And the candlestick was one of those that belonged in the holy place. It would give light to the holy place. It was the only source of light inside the holy place. Otherwise, it was completely covered with the curtains. No other natural light got in there, just the light that came from the candlestick. And it was to burn day and night continually. So they had to clean the wick and replenish the olive oil in the morning and also in the evening. And so we read here that before the light went out, God called Samuel. And it's written in this way, so I don't feel in any way that I'm taking anything out of context in order to stress a point that is pretty clear for all of us to remember for ourselves and for the sake of who we are and where we're going and the need for ourselves to be full of light, as it is written in the Word of God, right? When your eye is single and full of light. Praise the Lord. Amen. And in other words, there's no ism, there's no schism, there's no anything else, there's no get out of church card in your back pocket if things don't work out right. You're in this thing with your whole heart. Singleness of mind. I have no other agenda. I just want to live for Jesus. Like everyone here is expressing in their worship and their singing and their testimonies. I'm just here. I'm just glad to be here. I just want to worship God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that's pure. That's pure. And so it was important to God. And understand this, because it's not an impersonal thing. It's not that God didn't love Eli. But when God sets something in order, It has to continue. It was meant to continue. It was meant to pass on and just continue. I don't know any more complicated or simpler way to say it. That light's got to burn. And if Eli's being a moron, that doesn't change the fact that that lamp's got to stay lit. Praise the Lord. And it was important enough for God that the operation of God, that the order of worship, that what he set in motion doesn't stop just because some people along the way stop. Church won't stop when people backslide. Praise the Lord. Please understand. We hate it when it happens. But the kingdom of God, Scripture says, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. It's a kingdom that's forever and ever and ever. And it's important for people to know who get sometimes discouraged when they see things go on that are not good, that you need to keep your lights on. That if somebody else doesn't trim their wicks, amen, and keep their vessels full, praise the Lord, it doesn't mean you have to. There's still a calling of God. There's still heaven coming. There's still all that he's ever promised coming. None of that stops. Just because Eli won't refrain his sons from committing fornication and polluting the sacrifice. God don't like it and God will deal with it. But God's saying, what I've set in motion is going to keep on going. Somebody's going to obey me. It might as well be you. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Does that make sense? All right. So before I go any further, let me just, there's a very beautiful thing here. I'm going to try to, I hope I don't mess it up. Let me just turn to Leviticus 24:2. I want you to see this. This is just one verse. We can go into where it's written in Exodus, but let's just turn to the verse 2 here. The candlestick was made of pure gold. It wasn't like some of the other furniture that was overlaid with gold. This was beaten out of pure gold, fashioned so that it had branches coming from it, three on one side, three on the other in the main pipe. And it was fashioned to look like the leaves and the blossoms of an almond tree. And they had the plates at the top and the lamps at the top where the oil was to be poured in and where the wicks came out from, saturated with that oil, and it would burn. And so we read in Leviticus 24:2, command the children of Israel that they bring unto the pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Now, everything that he says is specific and for a reason. He does nothing for no reason at all. There's something in everything, every nook and cranny. God's got something. There's purpose behind it. You need to understand something, that your life's got purpose. It's got more purpose than you might ever acknowledge in your whole life. That's why a preacher in the Word of God and the Holy Ghost in you can spend so much time working on you so that you don't get in your way, so that you don't mess up the purpose, so that you don't diminish the purpose of God that's in you. When God sets a purpose in you, we like to quote that scripture, all things work together for good to them that love God, right? To them who are called according to his purpose, and that God makes intercession for us according to God. According to his purpose. That he purposed in Christ Jesus before the world began. This is why some of us are still here. Because the purpose of God rescued us when we fell and scraped our knee. Hallelujah. Because he set it up, because he established a certain thing, because he set in order. He said it's got to be this way, done this way. There has to be this and this and this. And when we do that, things work right. And when we falter, then we find ourselves not working right. But what God has established still works right. And when we go back to what he has done, we start working right. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. All right. Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive beaten for the light. But what does that mean? Remember, everything that they put in the altar of incense, inside the lamp, inside of the Holy of All, where the ark was. Everything was by God's design. It all meant something. It wasn't just done because God said, I love these colors. I love the royal blue and I love the scarlet and the little golden tassels. And isn't it cute? No, it wasn't that way. Everything was a picture of something yet to come. Everything. Everything pointed to Calvary. Everything pointed to the resurrection. Everything pointed to you. You may not understand a lick of what you read in Exodus, but it's about you. It's about the fulfillment of God pouring His Spirit upon all flesh upon you. I tell you today, you've got more purpose riding on your shoulders than you care to acknowledge and give yourself credit for. You've got the purpose of everything that's ever happened until now saying you can make it. We're determined to help you make it. I want you to make it. I did things so you could make it. Oh, hallelujah. When you read about the tabernacle, it's there because I want you to make it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Let me just read something for you to explain beaten olive oil. Pretty interesting fact. Now, I'm comprehending this a little bit more now in these days of my life than I would have prior to if I was not working at an orchard and actually involved in the cider making process. But I can comprehend this a whole lot better. This is just about the ripe olive berry. The pulp of the ripe olive berry is about half oil, which varies in grade according to the method of processing the pulp. The very best, called pure beaten olive oil, was produced by a simple process before the olives were put in the press. First, the olives were placed in a mortar and beaten until they were well bruised, or they were sometimes trodden by foot. Next, the bruised fruit was transferred to strainer baskets in which it bled oil until the virgin oil was released. Hallelujah. The pure beaten oil was stored in earthenware jars, and the pulp was moved to the oil to the olive press to be pressed further. So what was put inside that lamp wasn't stuff that came from the press part of the process. It was from the beaten part and strained and dripped through. Now let's turn to Isaiah 53. You already know where I'm going with this, but it's the truth anyhow. And it's a powerful truth. I tell you, just not any old oil was going to go into that. Not any other part of the processing part of extracting the oil from these black olives. Praise God. They say some of the best came from the reddest green. I mean from the black green part of the olive. That's where the good stuff would come from. And I just explained to you where the beaten part, that oil came from. There's a reason why it was to be beaten oil put in that lamp. Isaiah 53, verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities." Amen. "The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Oh, hallelujah. He was bruised for our iniquities. And in Isaiah, I believe he said that he was the one that tread the winepress alone. He stained all of his garments. He allowed himself to go to Calvary. Remember what he said, "If I don't go away, the oil will not come." Hallelujah. If I don't go to Calvary and allow them to bruise me, the pure oil will not flow from the throne of grace unto you. Whereof I can call you the lights of the world. We don't have any old oil in our lamp tonight. We've got pure beaten oil inside of our soul. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That's why we can testify that we can't have our own version of salvation. Amen. We've got to have His version. We've got to have that beaten oil. We've got to have that Holy Ghost power. There isn't anything, amen. You don't ever let God hear you say, "I don't need the Holy Ghost, I'm saved without it." That's like saying, "I'm a lamp without the oil. I'll burn without it." No, you won't, you creep. You won't burn at all. You'll burn, but not the way you think you will. Praise the Lord. You need to burn now with God so that you don't burn later without Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's God's order of worship. Just go along with it. I'm telling you, it's awesome. If you're not yet filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not a lamp yet. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said it like this. Now watch. The construction of the lamp, that those were called branches. So when you see that design, what they call the menorah, the original one was seven. Surprise, surprise. But notice that the branches were three on one side, three on the other. And that the position of the candlestick in the ark, the temple was on the south side, giving light towards the north, so that when they entered, they could see. It's interesting to see a picture not only of Christ being bruised, which all of these are elements within the whole construction. Not only is it a picture of Christ, but it is a picture of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Six is the number of men. Is it such a strange thing that there's three on one side, three branches on the other? I'm not making a doctrine out of this. I'm just saying I can see a picture of humanity, just like the wood overlaid with gold, the acacia wood overlaid with gold, which was the furniture inside, the boards that made up the walls of the tabernacle, overlaid with gold. It's just a picture of humanity, this earthen vessel, praise God, filled, amen, with a heavenly gift. Hallelujah. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not just any Christ, the only Christ there is, the pure Christ. Praise God. I thank God for a certainty. I thank God for a salvation that's proven, it's tested, it's tried, it's established. It's a plan that comes from God. Amen. Don't try to edit it away. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, make it your priority number one. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name and you're not yet filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, priority number one. Praise God. God, I've got to have the oil. I am a lamp, praise God. Amen, but I don't have oil. He was bruised to give you oil. That oil came as a result of his bruising. Thank you, Jesus. When he said, I tread the winepress alone and they're crushing those grapes, what are they establishing at that present stage in the process? The pure. He said, if I go away, the opposite way, he said, if I don't go away, the comforter won't come. It's expedient for you that I go get bruised. Hallelujah. Does that make sense today? I'm almost through. Thank you, Jesus. Such a powerful little lesson in just a few verses. And so when we look at 1 Samuel, which is where I'll come to an end here, and we see before the lamp of God went out, he called Samuel because he doesn't want the lamp going out. He doesn't want your lamp going out. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, John 8. Matthew 5, he said, ye are the lights of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Praise the Lord. And what we need to feel today, one thing I want you to go home with is, it's God's intention to keep you burning. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. How aggravating, how troubling, how concerning. It really, at the end of the day, what matters is, are you burning? Are you lit? And I'm not talking about with wine. I'm talking, do you have oil? Is your wick trimmed? Is it burning bright? God's not, there's always been darkness in the world. That's why he's poured his spirit upon all flesh, so that we will infiltrate the darkness. Amen. So that we will shine a light regardless of the opposition. Hallelujah. Regardless of those who don't like it. It's that continuation. It's that continual, keep it on, keep it on, keep it. Somebody's got to keep the lights on. Samuel. Somebody has got to make sure the lamp's burning. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you remember the verse of Scripture, honor thy father and thy mother? Hallelujah. Something I was pondering in prayer is kind of an interesting thought. Be honest with you, I never thought of it like this, although we've read all the scriptures, but sometimes we don't marry something we learn over here with this until they come together. And then we kind of look at the puzzle and we see the picture more clear. We're like, oh yeah, here we go. The world can profit by the Ten Commandments. even if they're all sinners, because the Word of God's powerful, and it can help people just live better. Doesn't mean they're saved, but they can definitely live better. And so when they honor their father and mother because they've been taught that from the Ten Commandments, from whatever perspective they've been taught it, it's a good thing. But there's a deeper lesson involved with honor thy father and thy mother when it pertains to a people that were called out. They were delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. They were chosen as the people of God. They were given the oracle of God, the word of the Lord. They were given all that they had, the order of worship and the sacrifices, everything that you ever read that points to what we have now. It was to them directly. They had the word of God, and they were taught. They were taught to pass on. To when their kids wake up in the morning, teach them, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Bind it upon the tables of your heart. Keep the word of God close." When they lay their head at night, you teach them the word. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. You let them hear the word of God. You put it on the doorposts of your home. Praise the Lord. So that leaving you remember and coming home you remember. When you lay down you remember. When you wake up you're hearing the instruction of God. And one of the reasons why children should honor their father and mother, especially when they're in the church, is because mom and dad are passing on that light to you. Amen. They are pouring out the oil to you. They are giving something that needs to be continual. It needs to pass on from generation to generation, like the light in the temple. It just needs to be burning, 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 and not burning. Honoring mom and dad is by receiving the word of God that they're teaching you and the ways of God that they're trying to instill inside of you. Honor them by hearkening unto them. Hallelujah. You're honoring what's being passed on. Do you understand? It's not just obeying mom and dad and being nice kids in the house. It's deeper than that. When mom and dad are supposed to instruct, and I'm saying this because part of this message is God making sure, regardless of what Eli was doing, making sure that what he has established continues. So, when Eli's off the scene, Samuel's carrying it on. And the work of God is being carried on. Right? And we can talk about a lot of things in that area. And I'm not going too far there. I'm just here to say that opposition to truth should never change the truth. And should never change our stand for the truth. It's been said many times, darker the night, the brighter the light. So we should not diminish our light. We shouldn't lower our lamps because people are saying, you can't say that anymore. In this stupid society that we live in today, where you go boo and people get all upset over it, and they take you off their friends list because you don't agree with them anymore. Bunch of cowards and wimpy people. And they're being taught this by leaders. That if you don't see it like I see it, you're not on my Christmas list anymore. Oh, thank you. Please take me off and never put me on it again. You're one less creep I've got to worry about. My wife's got to worry about. Thank you for doing so. Delete us. But I mean, you understand what I'm saying. This world has gotten so crazy. But look, no matter how much they say, well, you know, you really shouldn't say stuff like that. You know, that's kind of strong. They're people too. We have to remain who we are. We cannot turn the lamp down a little because they're getting offended by the light. We got to in the morning. Praise God. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. In the morning I'm going to put the oil in. I'm going to make sure my wick is trimmed and fresh. It's not going to be half full of oil. It's going to have a lot of oil. It's going to be pure. And at the evening time, when they're done, praise God, when they're done doing what they do, praise the Lord, I'm going to fill it up again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And when Daniel knew that the proclamation was written that if anyone prayed to any other god but the god of the stupid king, Scripture says that he went in and kicked his window open towards Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And let his light shine. And said, praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, mighty Jehovah. I don't think he was. Maybe I shouldn't say that next time I'm in the pulpit. No. He just cried out unto God anyhow. Said, I'm not letting those jokers stop my prayer life. I'm going to preach the word. Amen. I'm going to be instant in season and out of season. I'm going to preach the truth. Amen. If it upsets everybody, praise God. I'm not altering this. I'm not editing this. Amen. I'm not going to get less intense with this. Praise God. I'm going to let it shine. And if they got to hold their hands over their eyes because it's too bright, so be it. I'm not going to not let it shine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You understand that tonight. I don't have to belittle the point. I want to read one more scripture if I can get to it pretty quick. Jeremiah, I believe it's chapter 20. Praise God. If you just bear with me a little. I think you understand what I'm saying here tonight. Wasn't that just an awesome thought about the oil? I was sure beaten. And he gave you the best. He took a beating and gave you the very best. Pure. Hallelujah. And then he said, let your light shine. That didn't change because opposition to the light came or will come. He said, let it shine. You've got the best. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Hallelujah. And he's not pleased when we don't. Thank you, Jesus. God's going to have somebody that's going to make sure that lamp's burning. Praise God. Chapter 20, I believe I'm going to read in verse 9. Start with verse 8. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. And verse 7, he said, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone's mocking me. Then I said, verse 9, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And he said it, but his word, his lamp was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I couldn't forbear any longer. He said, I'm tired of everybody. Everyone in this nation's gone nuts. Every one of them have become fools upon fools. They've sold themselves to foolery. They've gotten degrees in foolishness, and they boast about it. I'm not talking anymore. Praise God. I'm not going to preach to him anymore. I'm going to preach to somebody that will appreciate it. But then I kneeled down and... the oil filled up. And I said, all right, Lord, I'll go do it again. Hallelujah. One more time. One more time. Praise God. Why? Because it's a fire shut up in my bones. I can't not shine. I've got to shine. I've got to preach the word. I've got to sing unto him a new song. I've got to live right. I've got to walk holy. Hallelujah. It's a fire. Hallelujah, let's stand and praise him. Hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Don't try to be saved without the oil. He was beaten to give you pure oil. Praise God. It's not an indictment against you. It's the remedy for your soul. It's God saying, it's the only way you can be a candle for me. It's the only way you can be the light of the world. Children of the light, children of the day. These people don't believe them when they say you don't need the Holy Ghost. You just reply to them I've got to have the oil. Lamps can't burn without the oil. That Holy Ghost is oil. And He's giving me the oil of gladness. Praise God to burn in my lamp. So if you see me glad, it's because I'm full of oil. And I'm going to burn with gladness and thankfulness of heart. Hallelujah. Let's love Him again. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Welcome you to continue to pray. Don't close the shop yet. Amen. Make sure you go home full. Amen. I'm not worried about who don't agree with God. Hallelujah. We're not throwing stones at anybody, no matter what you believe. We're here to help you grow up, go forward, and go up. And if you don't have oil, you ditch your theology and you get the oil. Praise the Lord. If your theology says, I don't need the oil, you need to realize that that's a liar and it didn't come from God. We've got to have it. Praise God. There's no option. There's no other way to be saved than repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost. It's for every Catholic, every Baptist, every Methodist, every Universalist. It's for all the gays. Hey, don't get concerned about me. We're going to preach the truth. The effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom of God, nor liar, nor murderer, nor fornicator, nor adulterer, nor people who shack up. Praise the Lord. This is a serious gospel. That's for everybody. Everyone's under sin. Amen. And the gospel is to save everybody from their sin. And they're never going to know if you don't keep the lights on for them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Don't you thank God for the light? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He said it for a reason. Amen. I've come to shine in gross darkness so I can save some stuff that's in the darkness. They'll never be saved if we don't shine a light. And we're not turning this thing down because creeps are jumping into all sorts of political places and they're looking to remove our liberty from us. Bunch of crazy people. But that's okay. You just start telling us we can't preach the truth. We're going to preach it stronger and louder and longer. Hallelujah. You don't have any right to take away our liberty to serve God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And that liberty is life. And in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Praise His name. He's wonderful. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise His name. He's worthy. He's worthy. Oh, He's worthy. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be His name. Blessed be His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, go ahead and love Him. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's not worried about the darkness. He's concerned about the light staying on. We can worry about the darkness, but we got to get His mindset. Watch. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, chapter 1 of Genesis. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon where the darkness was, moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. When darkness is there, He's concerned about the light. Let there be light. So when you're concerned about the sin of this world and the darkness of a nation and how things could go, we're all reminded of God. God saying, let there be light. Keep it burning. Before it goes out, keep it burning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Darkness has always been, but I want the lights on. Keep the lights on. God has kept our lights on because we decided to keep our lights on. We didn't jump ship when Pastor died. We said, God, the lights are on. And God has never, ever, ever let us have these lights off. Hallelujah. You understand my point? Praise God. Let's keep it burning. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. God help us to bribe each other more than ever before. Praise God. To denounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Help us. And everyone said, in Jesus' name, God bless you. Take another look at Acts 2:38. The old time message is still what it takes to go sweeping through the pearly gates. Repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. Don't wait, don't hesitate. Take another look at Acts 2:38. Take another look at Acts 2:38.
Oh.